Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, we know what's needed for the hour, and we pray that you would bless, Father. We pray that you would direct in every word that's said, everything that's done, that it could accomplish your will, that those of us that are saved could be drawn closer to you, and those that are lost could see their need of Jesus and the free gift of salvation that you've offered through Christ. Father, we pray again that your will would be accomplished. And for the good that is done, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come today, we're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs chapter 2. You know, last week we dealt with looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and that responsibility, as parents and even directing majorly at us as fathers, to teach our children. It's not... A lot of times people think, well, it's the church's job to teach them. No, it's not. It's the church's job to lead and set the basis of what we're to teach. But as I've told people several times, if I preach somewhere for 50 years, if I had 50 years to pastor, there's some things I'm just going to miss, or I might just have quickly gone over something. There's a lot of things in Scripture that you have to dig into more. You know, I rarely preach out of the Songs of Solomon. Mainly because there's a lot of things about a husband and a wife in there that there's... It'd just be difficult to preach in a mixed audience with kids and women, but there are certainly things in there that you could teach, you know, a child that's going into marriage and even somebody that's been married, that they could well understand what's being talked about in some of those places. There's even things in Ecclesiastes you're kind of like, man, I don't want to dig into that as deep as it's going. And it's not because you're afraid that necessarily the people can't handle it, but there are some people that are not mature enough to handle some of the things there. And even in the book of Proverbs, you got a father teaching his son some things, and there's some of that that, you know, there's times I've preached from those things in churches and certainly have preached on those things, and yet you're going, man, I'm going to get some conversations after church for bringing some of these things up. But it's in the Scripture. You know, it's not that you're going to get around it, but there are things that you're just not going to get in depth to. There are things that, especially you deal with more of the prophecy line of things. Well, I'm not going to be able to go into the depth of every single prophecy in the Scripture and dig into them and see a single part. My goodness, I've probably preached on the 70 weeks of Daniel maybe once the entire time I've been preaching. I've preached from the book of Revelation as far as doing a study through the whole book. I don't know, two or three times in 20 years of preaching. So there are things that you might miss. There are things that you might not have been ready to receive at the time. And there's so many different doctrines to preach on and come back and preach again on that are so necessary. That responsibility for a parent to teach their children, especially in the ways that they're going to face temptation and how they're going to face certain things in life is so important. And so as a parent, we have to have this desire to teach our children. And it puts that responsibility on us, first and foremost, to be a Christian that can teach these things. To grow in your knowledge. And there are even times as a minister that I have to answer questions outside of the pulpit and outside of the church house and try to help with people on those issues, and certainly we do that when God leads. But we have to come back to the responsibility of parents to teach their children. And the book of Proverbs is a great place to learn from. A lot of times we look at the book of Proverbs and we say, well, there's a lot of knowledge in here. Well, there is. It's kind of a beginning knowledge. It's a milk knowledge for the most part, not all of it, but for the most part it's a milk book. It's teaching some of the basics. And sadly, I've had times when I've taught out of the book of Proverbs that people say, I tell you what, you got deep, you went into some meat. And I'm going, this isn't meat, this is milk. This is kind of just good morals. things that we need to basically know. This is a father teaching his son how to be a man, especially in the first parts of the book of Proverbs. And he's teaching him some of the basic things that you need in life. And there's a lot of lessons contained in the book of Proverbs. And I try to study the book of Proverbs also because I've got a son, I've got a daughter who's growing up in life. And my responsibility to teach them and to train them up and how they should behave and what they should do in life, that I try to go through the book of Proverbs and I try to think about, okay, how can I teach my son this lesson? How can I teach my daughter this lesson? How am I going to work this into some of the daily things we're doing in life? And so these are things that I'm constantly going back and studying on because we have this desire to teach wisdom unto our children, especially things of the wisdom of God. So I want to pick up in chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs, and the first two words that are very important. You're going to notice these words mentioned again and again. But he says, my son. You might not think that's just passing words. It's not. My son. You might think of this for just a moment. I think about God and how much He does for His children and how He teaches us and instructs us and even corrects us. And, you know, He says, you know, I'm not dealing out here with the world to a great extent. Judgment begins at the house of God because we're His children. He says, I'm going to rebuke and chasten those that are mine. If you're without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons? And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, God's so hard on me. It's so difficult to serve God. Were His. Even when I was growing up, there were times when I would go to my mom or my dad and I'd say, well, why can't I do what my friend's doing over here? Why can't I go to this place? Why can't I listen to this music? Why can't I do this and this? And I had all kinds of questions. My mom's response was always the same. She said, because you're my child and they're not my child. She said, I have no control over what their parents allow them to do, but I have control over what I allow you to do. She said, you're my child. It's my job to raise you. And even at the beginning statement here of chapter 2 and verse 1, my son. Now while I am a child of God and God teaches me and God will teach His children, we need to understand the responsibility that we have to teach our children. I can't take care of every other child in the world. I can preach to them, I can share the gospel with them, I can take time with people and try to help, but my main responsibility as a father is to teach my children. My son, you're my responsibility. God has put you into my care. God has entrusted me with raising you as my son, my daughter. I've got that responsibility and we need to take that serious. My responsibility as a father. And notice the love and the care that this father has, which is a reflection of the love that God has for us and how He teaches us. He said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Son, if you would listen. Son, I'm wanting to pass some things on to you. I want to give you some things. I want to educate you. I want you to have wisdom to how this world works and what you're going to face and what you're going to come across in life. And he says, listen. You need to receive my words. You need to hide my commandments with thee. He said, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You need to train your ear to hear what wisdom is. There's a lot of falsehoods. We live in a world full of falsehoods. We live in a world full of fair speeches. But there is real truth. There is real truth, and there's what the world calls my truth. There's a big difference between my truth and the truth. Everybody can have their own truth, but God has absolute truth. God has the reality of the situation. I want to teach my children not to hear their truth, but to hear the truth. Not to hear somebody's perspective on something, but to seek the truth. The reality of things. What's real versus what is perception. The world loves to teach perception. This is my perspective as a black man. This is my perspective as a white man. This is my perspective, you know, from a gay person. This is my perspective, you know, from a straight person. This is my perspective from a woman. This is my perspective from poverty. This is my perspective from rich. God doesn't do that. God doesn't play those games. And let me tell you, those are games of Satan that lead to destruction and leads to divisiveness, leads to hatred, leads to covetousness, leads to envy. Those are ungodly things. I've been preaching against social justice for a whole many years. Ever since I first heard the term, probably back in my 20s. Back in the early 2000s. I probably heard it in college somewhere, maybe even in the late 90s. And as soon as I heard it and started digging into it, I was like, this isn't seeking truth. This is perceived truth. This isn't reality. This is perception of reality. And this divides people. It does things contrary to what the Word of God does, which is teach forgiveness and reconciliation. I don't preach the message of division. I teach the message of reconciliation to God through Christ. And when we get reconciled to God, it helps us be reconciled one to another through the forgiveness that He teaches us. That's why I don't teach that other junk. Because it's garbage. And I don't uphold preachers that preach that stuff because they're preaching heresy. They're preaching garbage. We look for actual, real truth. And to hear the truth over all the noise in the world today, you need to incline your ear unto wisdom. And you've got to apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. There's a lot of people chasing the dollar. There's a lot of people searching for gold in this world. And sadly, even in churches, you see that. I come across so many every day. Oh, God's going to bless you richly. God's going to put this blessing in your life. And it's always financial. It's always about some job or attaining some goal for self. My God teaches me to deny myself and follow Christ. Not to treat God like some genie that I'm rubbing on His lamp to get some wish of mine. I'm to seek wisdom above money. I'm to seek truth. Real truth as its hid treasure. If I told somebody there was a chest full of gold out in the woods somewhere, you'd see them out there with metal detectors searching all day for it. You would see them digging holes everywhere. You can find those type of things out in the world. You hear about people, you know, they've been on this island for years searching for this so-called treasure that's here. They've dug here and they've dug there and dug everywhere. They're spending all kinds of money. If they had invested all that money, they would have had more treasure than they could ever find. But they're spending years of their lives seeking for this thing. And there's people that do that in all kinds of avenues in the world. He says, you need to seek wisdom as silver. You need to search for her as hid treasure. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find not the knowledge of God. And notice what He's saying, what you're going to find. You're going to understand the fear of the Lord. There's a lot of people who don't understand the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord leads us into righteousness. It leads us into goodness and peace. And actually, the fear of the Lord is not just something, oh, I'm scared and I'm afraid of. It's something that leads us into comfort, peace. It leads us to great places, even being reconciled to God through Christ. And you're going to find the knowledge of God. You're going to see the wisdom and truth of the knowledge of God. And I tell you what, that clears up so much in this world. Well, this is a gray area. Well, this is a dark area. And there's people so confused by all that. God gives clarity to where we know right from wrong, good from evil. God's Word gives us clarity. And we see through the lies of the fair speeches of Satan. And we see to the truth of things. That comes from the wisdom of the Word of God. And that's what this father is leading to. He's not saying, I want to lead you so that you can do what I want you to do. He says, I want to lead you so that you can please God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Notice who's getting the credit for knowledge and understanding. Is it the father that's so smart? The father's even saying, son, I got my knowledge from God. And this is the knowledge you want to seek after. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Isn't that what we'd want in life? I want to know every good path. I want to know the way that God would have me to go. He said, if you'll apply your heart to this and seek it like you're seeking for hid treasure, He says, you'll find it. You'll understand righteousness, judgment, and equity. Yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. This is what He wants for you. And listen, I know I'm going to skip around a little bit to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 1 of Proverbs. My son. There's those words again. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And where is His commandments coming from? Himself or God? They're coming from God. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's what righteousness does. That's what the wisdom of God does. And notice the Father, He says, this is what I want for you. Not to be accepted in the world, not to be just successful in the world and all these. This, listen, I want something better for you. I want you to have things that will add length of days to your life. I want you to have something that's going to give you peace. That's what a lot of people are missing. We live in a day and time when antidepressants is one of the most prescribed drugs that there is. Why are people depressed? Why are they filled with anxiety? Why are they facing all these different things? In a time where we have more wealth, we have more riches, we have more vacation time, we have more than other people before us ever had. But yet we're more anxious and we're more scared and we're more depressed. We're not as happy. Do you know why? Because we lost the wisdom that we really needed. We're missing on the knowledge that is most important. God talked about the days that we're living in. He said they would be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God gives peace. God gives comfort. God gives assurance. God even gives His beloved rest at night. He doesn't give us worry. He doesn't give us fear. That's not what God gives us. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And those two have to be intertwined together where you can't separate one from the other. Mercy and truth. He said, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's where it needs to be, is within our heart, within us. And this is what the Father is teaching His Son. He says, Son, if you're going to have peace, if you're going to know the right way to go versus the wrong way, if you're going to know the direction that God would have you to go, you got to put these things in your heart. And you can't halfway try to know these things. You've got to diligently seek them. And if we do that, He said in verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In the sight of God and man. He says this is going to help you out in the world. But more importantly, it's going to help you with your relationship with God. And of course, that relationship only begins by faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He tells him, he says, what you need to do is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What a lot of people don't understand about our understanding is it's corrupt. We have a limited understanding of things as human beings, and I don't care if your IQ is 250. You still have a limited understanding of man. See, we compare ourselves by ourselves. The Bible says those that do that are not wise. We kind of say, well, I'm smarter than this person over here with 100 IQ, and I can see so much more than they can. But do you see everything? And even some of what you see, has your own intellect gotten in the way of seeing the truth? Remind you of what we just quoted from 2 Timothy chapter 3, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You think there's some pretty intelligent people that they're ever learning and never are able to come to the knowledge of the real truth because the truth might be simple? He's saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In everything that we do, it should be said unto the glory of honor of God. In all of our ways acknowledge Him. Follow His wisdom, His ways, not what we think is right. Listen, sometimes I think to fix a solution, I'm like, God, let me take this into my hands. You know, I can go and punch somebody's lights out and fix this. Or I can get angry. I can seek revenge. I can call them names. I can do all these other things. God says, that's not my way. My way will actually create more problems instead of fixing anything. We see that going on in the world today. We need to start doing it God's way again. Acknowledge Him in everything that we do. And let Him direct us in what's right. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Notice that statement. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do you know there's hardly anything I can't justify in my own eyes when I'm doing it? I can justify hatred. I can justify unforgiveness. I can justify malice. I can justify making myself feel better because I'm not doing something that somebody else is doing. But that's not living in the truth. I don't need to be wise in my own eyes, but I need to fear the Lord. What I need to do is depart from evil myself. And if we do this, he says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And I know that gets into giving there and even charitable giving in different ways. I need to understand this life isn't about me. Even if God allows us to have some things in this world, how are we using those things for the glory and honor of God? And there is a portion, if you go and study in the book of Ecclesiastes, that God desires us to even enjoy the fruits of our labor. We're allowed to do that. But again, in respect and honor to the Lord. We need to honor Him with our substance, with what He's given us, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. He says, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. A lot of people don't understand that. But the reason that I correct my children sometimes, and quite often there's times I have to get on to them about cleaning or about how they're behaving, how they respond to people, and even how they treat one another as siblings. And the reason I correct them is because I care about what they're going to be when they go out into the world. I don't want them to be anything when they go out into the world. I want them to be honorable, respectable. I want them to treat others with respect. I want them to show honor to God. I want them to stand up for what's right. And I even want to teach them how to stand up for what's right. But we need to remember, if God gets on to us for something, there's a reason for it. It's because He's trying to help us be better, to grow and to mature. And when we're better, it helps us in our life, doesn't it? The more that I serve God, the better human being I am all around. The more I serve God, the better husband I am. The more I serve God, the better father I am. The more I serve God, the better a worker I am at whatever job I'm doing. The more I serve God, the better neighbor I am to the people who live around me. Everything I do, the more that I give unto the Lord, the better person I am. So when God corrects us, we need to let Him have that correction. We need to learn from it. We need to respond to the chastening of the Lord in the right way to correct whatever it is we're doing wrong. He said, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." So many people chasing after silver and gold, and God saying, "I got something better than that." Notice He's not preaching against silver and gold. He's not preaching against having money or having nice things in life. That's not what He's doing. He's saying there's something better than all the things that you can get from this world. And what He's saying is you need to put a priority on what's most important. You need to put integrity, uprightness, truth. You need to put these things ahead of getting gain for yourself. That's what's being taught here. And we need to seek that which is better. It's more important than gold or silver. And the weird thing is that when we put on the things of God and we become that better person, whereas we might not be a billionaire somewhere or be the richest person in the world, I promise you this, God promised that those that would seek first the kingdom of heaven, then all these other things, food, shelter, and clothing, would be added unto them. We're to seek God first. That's what we're to do. Put Him first in our life, more than gold or silver or the things of this life. It says that wisdom, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. In other words, wisdom is the principal thing, isn't it? And even over in chapter 4 and verse 1, He says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law." Here's a father again, teaching the children. And He's saying, "Oh, if you'll listen, this will be a blessing to you." Let me ask this, even come to this, even in marriage. If I teach my daughter to love and obey her husband in the Lord, and I teach my son to love his wife the way that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, will they have a successful marriage? Either side of that wisdom that God has given. And I know it takes two working together. I understand that. But do they look for somebody that fills those places too? If my daughter looks for a man who will love her as Christ loved the church, and he'll look to do what's honorable and right for her instead of just what's pleasing to himself, you think she'll have a successful marriage? If my son looks for a wife that wants to be a wife, she's not out there saying, "You do your thing, I do my thing. We happen to be together. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't." But he looks for a wife that wants to be a wife. And he seeks to love her and honor her and do what's best for her the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You think they'll have a successful marriage? When we as parents teach our children to look for wisdom and look for the right things in life, will it be better for them long term? I think we know the answer to that. And I pray that we seek that with everything that's within us to teach them those things. It'll be more precious than rubies, gold, or silver for them, won't it? I pray this could be a blessing to us today. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. Heavenly Father, pray that you'll use this message for your honor and glory, for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.